You're on the radio.
Yeah, hi. I want to ask a serious question. It's not. I don't mean to be provocative or anything. But what is the difference between civil disobedience and breaking the law?
What is the difference? I don't know. Do you give me your answer? What do you think it is?
I don't know. I to me, it sounds
they
like
they are about the same thing. Civil disobedience is breaking the law.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you know, if you're Al Sharpton, you got to do 90 days. I mean, he was a bit surprised because often civil disobedience is treated with a slap on the wrist, but it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, I mean, with Sharpton, then the report was that he got 90 days because he was what they called a repeat offender.
Right.
And I was on a couple of demonstrations early on with Sharpton, and I stopped because what they did was they said when the police were approaching, they said, okay, everybody who wants to be arrested, come over here. This was Sharpton's people, and the rest of you break up now and, you know, move on. And so the people were deliberately choosing to be arrested. And then they got, I don't know, tickets or desk appearances or something.
But that's not, you know, that happens a lot. But what folks all of a sudden realize, you know, is that that's not necessarily what they have to do. They could give the full sentence.
Yeah.
You know, I had a friend of mine who was first offense, civil disobedience action. It wasn't really a civil disobedience action, but it was a political action. In the past, people had gotten a slap on the wrist. He wound up doing 8 months.
He had broken the law, though.
Yeah, well, they said he'd broken the law. I mean, I didn't really see the law. I mean, being broken by this guy in this case. I don't want to go into the whole details of the story.
Yeah,
but they definitely scooped him up and they put him on trial, and his defense sort of fell short, and he was convicted, and he got 8 months in jail.
Yeah,
first defense.
Yeah. Well, it puzzled me that the outrage about Sharpton, when he deliberately broke the law,
and
has done it with some regularity.
Right. Well, for protest actions, but you know, it's occasionally you run into a judge who says, "Well, you know, as a protester, you have to be psychologically prepared that." To pay the price for your protest.
Well, I know if I protest, I drive a car, and if I protest traffic laws by going through a red light, for instance, I don't feel that I'm entitled to immunity because I'm protesting. You know that it makes me special, that it makes me different, because I'm doing it as a political action. Rather than just because I don't feel like, you know.
Right. Yeah. That's true. I mean, you can't really. I mean, the whole idea of civil disobedience is to, you know, the jail sentence is in itself part of the protest.
Yeah. All right, one thing. Just one other thing then. I heard that this last fundraising raised about 400, pledges about 400,000.
I saw that email. Don't believe anything you see in the emails.
No.
First of all, let me tell you this, all right? Don't be fooled by numbers. It's a numbers game. Trust me, all these radio stations make money through sale of the subcarrier. You know about that? You ever hear of the subcarrier?
No.
99.5 and all the other Pacifica stations have other areas of the band that isn't used for the broadcast, that they for many years have rented out at a very high price to various companies that brings in enough money to keep the station going even if no money came in. Forever.
So it's just the Pacifica National Board.
I'll tell you this, and let me give you some inside information.
I'm listening.
All right? They don't care if they don't make any money at all. They're going to change the station, and they're going to change the way this and all the other stations are run. They are. And they don't care if no money comes for several years. If necessary, they'll lay everybody off. They'll have two people run the station. They say that to me directly. They don't care.
Well, I know that.
They told me they did it in L.A.
Well, not only
they had two people running it for 2 years because everybody defunded it after they fired everybody there.
Well, I know that.
And they rebuilt it again, and they say it's sad because it does set back the network, and it makes them have to rebuild it, and it sets them back years, but they'll do it.
They turned to
Washington. They're convinced to do it. They're totally committed to doing it.
And for what?
They told me straight up. I talked to Yasko and all these people.
What do they want to turn the stations into?
They want to get rid of the crazy two out there leftist craziness, which they think has nobody wants to listen to and there's no audience for.
I mean, they'll turn it into music stations like they did in
Washington. They want to just have more professional style broadcasting and not like the morning show used to be. All right, they don't want just a bunch of amateur broadcasters sitting around and patting each other on the back about their personal political involvements. You know, they just don't want that anymore.
Huh.
And, you know, it's pretty direct. I mean, it's not a secret. I mean, it's being obfuscated and turned into this. It's not a big, you know, and there's some, you know, it's what can I tell you, you know? You know, they've already done it, you know?
Well, they've already done it, yeah.
It's already done. It's already been done. You know, and right now people can retaliate by trying to defund them or go after the board members and get them fired, but they're just going to replace the board members with other board members who think the same way because most people think that way. Most people think that it's too extreme. The politics of the station was allowed to get too extreme and that it killed the audience. There was nobody listening anymore.
Is that true of all five stations?
That's what they thought of all. I don't know. I can't tell you for sure what the details of all five stations, so that's the general philosophy at work here. I'm not kidding. This is what they said. I mean, I talked to the guy. He told me. I talked to the head at Pacifica.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me straight out. I had no reason to, you know.
Did you say that was Acosta, David Acosta?
No, other people. Come on. I sit here all day and I talk to people. It's no big secret. All right? It's true. DAI, under the last regime, right, had these million-dollar fund drives.
Uh-huh.
And they used to tout them as great million-dollar fund drives. You know what they left out?
What?
A million-dollar fund drive wasn't enough money for the station to survive. Pacifica, after our million-dollar fund drives, had to give hundreds of thousands of dollars every year in order to keep us from going bankrupt. The million-dollar fund drives that they were doing, right? We're failing. Weren't enough to pay the rent.
Do
you understand the problem?
Yeah, I understand the problem.
There wasn't enough money. The left doesn't generate enough money. The extreme left viewpoints that were put on the station were scaring away people with money.
Well, then
they weren't enough money for the station to make the rent.
Well, then how were the stations able to survive?
Because they get money from selling. Because even when Valerie was here, she was selling to corporations our sideband in order to keep the station alive.
And
as much into it as anybody.
That's been true all down the years?
For years.
Before Valerie? Because there was life.
No, it started
Valerie.
Under her.
Pardon?
It started under her. That's when they discovered they could do it. That's when a market developed in the sideband.
So how did the station survive before that?
Because it wasn't as expensive, maybe. Because they didn't have to pay. You know what the rent is for our transmitter?
No.
$350,000 a year.
Boy, that's
just
more.
For the transmitter, just for a little closet.
Boy, that's more than I pay for cable.
I know.
But
we are facing serious problems. You know, there was the previous regime was living in a dream world. They were running the station into the ground and telling everybody we're making all this money, but they were going bankrupt.
And that's true of the other four stations as well?
Well, I can't tell you. Each station has its own history.
Yeah.
I know the one in L.A., they brought in the evil Mark Shubb, who everybody likes to call all kinds of names and say, nobody seems to remember what program it was that caused them to pull everybody and fire everybody from KPFK in Los Angeles. Do you remember what the program was?
Nope.
It was a program that was a whole day of vicious anti-Semitic ranting by a mad, insane bunch of people who had controlled the whole station.
Well, we're getting a bit of that here in New York.
Well, no, it was worse than anything here. It was really bad news. And Pacifica came in and fired them all.
Mm-hmm.
And they people boycotted and said this is a horrible attack against the left-wing people who run the station, as if like some sort of crazed nationalist right-wing fascist thing is left-wing.
Yeah.
And those are the allies. Those are your allies, or, you know, I don't know which side you're on, but that's the allies, you know? That's why it's this bizarre alliance made in hell between, like, white Jewish liberal programmers and vicious racist anti-Semitic people. I mean, it's incredible. It's like we all laugh here hysterically at these bizarre alliances that are made on the opposition side.
Is that also true of Berkeley? Of the KPF?
No, I think in Berkeley they have another problem. I think personally what I think their problem is, First of all, you have to understand that I hear a lot of different stories than, you know, the propaganda you hear on in the internet seems to really be different than when I talk to people from there. And it's so bizarre, some of the differences that I hear, I don't really know what to make of it, because they say, well, what I hear is, now you put me in a position of to mention names, that certain people who are held up as great heroes are there considered total schlemiels who are going to try and get, who are going to get everybody fired through their insanity. And yet over here, people say that person is a hero standing up for the people. And then when I go there, you know, they tell me, no, that person's insane. That person's going to get us all fired.
It's
like one person's freedom fighter is another person's terrorist.
This is somebody who's brought...
Yeah, this is typical of the type of stories I hear.
Mm.
All right?
Yeah.
There are so many cross-cutting interests, and there's so many people out for themselves who are calling themselves of the people.
Well, you know...
I'd be very careful. You know, I'd be very careful of all the attacks you've heard against me. You know, all of a sudden...
Actually, I haven't heard any against you.
Oh, horrible. On the internet and stuff. All these attacks going on and on and on. And you know what's funny how they started? To me, it was very interesting how the attacks started. They started before I took a position.
Mm-hmm.
I was being attacked from like 11:35 the night of the counter coup. I hadn't even taken a position. I didn't know really what was going on.
Yeah.
And I'm getting phone calls from people, from important people, with names everybody knows, calling me every name in the book, screaming at me through the Christmas weekend like a maniac. All right, from several people. And, you know, I'm scratching my head. What's this all about?
Mm-hmm.
What's this all about? And then when I start investigating it, I start to see that, yeah, well, you know, Pacifica wants to do this, but, you know, did you know why? Do you know why Pacifica is stepping in and trying to reorder stations? Do you know how bad the finances have gotten? Do you know how small a listening audience have become? Do you realize how close to bankruptcy several of the stations have gotten? Do you realize that several of the stations have been taken over by crazed nationalistic people with fascist almost points of view? Do you know? That, yeah, sure, the Pacifica people are a bunch of liberal corporate types. They always have been. That's nothing new. They ran it that way for 20 years ago.
Well, you said that the... Before Valerie, or what was it? That's what's that, about 10, 12 years ago?
Yeah.
That before that, there was no selling of the sidebands.
Right.
And
far as I know, I don't know exactly when that started, but I think it was in the 80s.
More or less.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know when it started either.
Because right.
I didn't even know about it.
Right.
But is it possible that part of it is because the station has chosen to go into more expensive quarters? They've developed a payroll that they never had before.
But that's what's causing all the problems. It's so funny because, you know, when it was an easy situation when it was some Pacific administrators in California and a couple of people in administration here doing their bidding, and all these unpaid producers.
Yeah, I mean, there was,
and many of the unpaid producers are doing it very much out of their heart and getting nothing in return, and many are using this as an advertising agency in which to bring money into their business and to do very, very well because in large part of the exposure they get on WBAI. But, you know, we won't attack them because they do good work too.
Mm.
All right?
Well,
so they have their little adult, bougie, money-making world as unpaid producers here at WBAI. All right? In which, and then they have the administrators, the other big people, you know, pulling the strings, administering the stations. And then there was a little bit of, like, poop in the ointment.
A little bit of kook?
A little poop in the ointment.
Oh, okay.
The poop in the ointment was, as the stations started to grow and as the 60s volunteer mentality started to fade, they started to have to pay more and more people to do the work the volunteers used to do. And they used to actually, because of demands of these same producers who all of a sudden now became somewhat prima donna-ish and wanted to have everything working right and wanted to have an engineer there and wanted to have carts made and wanted to have people on staff all the time, they started to add to the staff. They added to the staff because they wanted, the unpaid programmers wanted to add to the staff. They wanted better services. It was part of the prima donna thing.
And they weren't able to round up their own volunteers?
They created a third way. And that is this. A bunch of low-paid people, maybe 15 or 20 low-paid people or more, working for the station, who started to unbalance the old balance of power.
But because of their payroll?
Right, the payroll,
the payroll,
right. All the people, all the operations people, and all the people who were getting small salaries and medium salaries and some even larger salaries were starting to unbalance the balance of power that used to exist here between administrators and unpaid programmers.
Well, I got a letter, though, because that's increasing, because I got a letter.
And what are we going to do? Are we going to say, let's fire Brother Shine? You know, let's go back to the way it was in the 60s and just fire all these people, and that way we won't have to worry about carrying them and how we're going to deal with them and how we're going to pay them and how we're going to deal with their retirement and their health insurance.
Yeah, well,
you know, which all of a sudden makes us have to put the station on a much more professional footing than it was on, that makes people comfortable.
You're saying that on a more professional basis makes people more comfortable?
Makes more people uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But it makes the people who work here more comfortable.
Uh-huh.
You know? Because all of a sudden now, and of course you see all the attacks on the part-time workers. I mean, some of the most vicious attacks I've heard are against people who work like 6 hours a week. You know, how dare they take a salary? Because if it wasn't for those people, you know, we wouldn't have to raise so much more money, and the issue that we're not making enough money wouldn't become one for Pacifica to notice, and they wouldn't be demanding that there be bigger audiences.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well,
and in the same way, these crappy programs aren't delivering the bigger audience.
People seem
to love, but when they realize at the height of their protests that the programs they love and are coming out for in huge numbers, they're really not that large numbers of supporters.
But
ultimately, so they have to get violent and attack me and other people in the station and all kinds of weird things.
And yet, the present administration is, according to a letter that I got during the last campaign, the one in February, in the letter it was said that more staff were going to be hired. They were going to be added.
Yeah, they should be. They should be. Why not? Why should this station, why should Pacifica's only role be to serve a bunch of self-serving people?
Because someplace there has to be an outlet for something that does not sound like ABC or...
Right, but who's going to do the work? Because nobody. Are you going to come down here and volunteer to sit here overnight and watch this place and make sure that everything is done correctly? And that, will you or someone you know come here and learn engineering skills and give up all the other things they do in their lives and just hang out here all day to make sure that a certain prima donna programmer gets their cart made right the way they want it, and that there's an engineer here all the time, and that the equipment they want to use to produce their program is always on, and all these things?
No, but
it's hard to have both.
But I don't understand why that prima donna volunteer programmer
right.
has to be catered to.
They want to be catered to.
Well, I mean, no, but
they want to be. They want to be. They want it both. They want the best of both worlds. They want to be catered to like servants.
No, but what I'm
by
saying,
servants basically, and they don't want to have the responsibility to having to generate the programming to pay for it.
But I would imagine that there for every programmer who's a prima donna, there are maybe 100. I know
those aren't the ones who are protesting. Those aren't the ones who are upset about the changes. It's all the prima donna programmers who are screaming.
Yeah, but no, the point is that I know of, what, three people, I think, over the years, excuse me, who have wanted to be and applied to be volunteer programmers.
Mm-hmm.
And
they couldn't get in, could they?
They couldn't
no
get in.
No way. No way. But that's going to change. Those days are what's going to change. The days when this BAI is a clique of a handful of friends who have nothing to do with radio in order to promote their own personal agendas as if it was progressive politics are over.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone. It's over. It's never coming back that way.
And so what you're saying is that it will become more like NPR, for instance.
Why is that necessarily so? Why was this great... Where is this great radical... first of all, what changes have happened on this air that tend to tell you that there's this great move towards a NPR style? Because they got rid of like a bunch of unprofessional programmers who had problems communicating, basically their biggest supporters said what they really liked was that they got up and were so homey in the morning, and they gave them like a nice homey, kick back, relaxed morning with their cup of coffee feel. And you know, why should Pacifica support that? What is it necessary to give a handful of people a nice, comfy little wake up every morning that never changes? It wasn't politics. That's the strongest defense I've heard is that people were just used to these voices on the air at a certain time, and they're chagrined and upset that they don't hear those same voices.
Well,
and they haven't gotten used to the new ones yet.
I know for me, I'm finding that it's because it would happen over the years. You know, I just tuned into BAI because that was the thing that interested me. And periodically I would say, come on, you got to watch something. You got to listen to something else. And so I would go to other stations and then I'd be back because this was the only really interesting one through the day. And I find now, since January... that, well, it's been getting more and more, but I guess it started in January, that more and more of it is just boring.
What has changed? I mean, not one programmer who hasn't been actually removed for actually organizing and using the radio in almost every case to actively protest. I mean, what is the gag rule really about? It's about people using the air to organize physical civil disobedience type protests against the station. And now that, you know, they scream freedom of speech. Yeah, the freedom of speech to actually use the air that they are privileged to have and do not own, no matter how much they think they do, to promote protest activity against the actual owners of the station because they think they're illegitimate. And the reason why they think they're illegitimate is because they are afraid that their crappy programs don't make enough money and they might be the next on the chopping block.
But
that's what's going on. Believe me, that's the truth.
But except that
take that from somebody who's here watching it face to face and not living, working out there and hearing about it on the internet.
But the programmers last year, the year before that, were not protesting the station.
Right. They were all totally.
And what I'm saying is, but for me, it was more interesting.
But what changes? Where have these changes happened? What programs have changed? That's what I came back to the question. Were you a big fan of a program that's been removed?
I guess I was a fan of the general tenor of the station, which was, I don't know, the word bland comes to mind, the word standardized comes to mind.
What's standardized? What's changed? It's the same people. Not one person has voluntarily quit the air. Not one person has said, one other programmer I know of has gone to Utrecht and said, I am so angry because you removed Bernard White that I am never doing another program here again, and I'm walking out the door in protest. Not one.
Wait a minute. Juan Gonzalez quit on the air. I heard him.
Right, but he works for National. Has nothing to do with WBAI. Democracy Now! Is a national program that's financed directly from Pacifica. Has nothing to do with WBAI.
Oh, so you're talking about strictly...
Yeah. No, you're talking about Amy Goodman and Democracy Now!, and you're very upset that it's...
What I find
is the people who are most upset, they don't really give a damn about, you know, what show at 2 p.m. on Thursday or what show at 9 a.m. on Friday, at 11 a.m. on Friday, or what show at 4 a.m. on Tuesday, or what show at 6 p.m. on Saturday or something. Nobody cares about those shows. They all care about one thing. It's really all about it. What's going to happen with Democracy Now!, all right?
Let's get down to it.
That's the issue. That's what really everybody cares about.
Every argument and discussion I have,
that's what they're really afraid of. I have not met any militant supporters of Wake Up Call. I have not met any militant supporters besides Mimi herself of Mimi Rosenberg's old show. I haven't. Where I found militant supporters of is Democracy Now!, people who love that show and don't want to see it removed, and that's what they're afraid of. That's going to happen. But you know what? That's not in Utrecht Lee's area.
It's in Pacificus.
And believe me, I met Amy's bosses. All right? They are not what you've been told. They're not.
What do you mean, Amy's bosses?
You know, Steve Yasko, the national program director, who's allegedly she's arguing with.
Yeah.
I met him.
Mm-hmm.
He's not.
Well,
an evil, right-wing, corporate guy. He just ain't.
Let me answer your question.
It's all a bunch of crap.
Let me answer your question then about what programs have changed that I am not terribly exercised about Amy Goodman's program. There were times I didn't listen. I was not a faithful.
That's the one everybody is almost, and actually are violently incensed about and might be removed.
But on the other hand, what has turned bland, for instance, the gay programming on...
But none of that has been changed. Nothing. That's because of their own internal changes. It has nothing to do with Utrecht and the station.
Well, if
in other words, they would have changed and gone in that direction if Valerie was still there or not.
No, but it's not the same people.
But I know, but you're not. Utrecht did not change that program.
Who changed it then?
They changed themselves.
You mean that
they are just a collective of people that changes over time, all the time, anyway. It's volunteers.
It's a
collective outside of this area, outside of the station, organized outside of the station that comes into this station to do a program.
And
we provide the time, and Utrecht has nothing to do with the content.
And the
nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with even who the actual voices are on the air. As long as they don't use that air to organize violent protests against the station.
So it's all right, but as long as they turn
right.
out...
Everybody, you know what it's like? I'll tell you something about a radio station. We're in the public arena, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are beset as any public, anything like that, any media establishment, whether it's ABC, NPR, WBAI, I don't care what it is, all right? We are beset with groupies, fans, stalkers, people who hate us, people who love us, for every bizarre reason you can imagine. Plus, the politics of the situation increases it even greater. And add on to that, the general dysfunctional way that leftist organizations are run in this country.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? And
I think that's true all over the world.
Right.
Though.
And you add that all together, right? And that's what really a lot of... And it draws all these people. I mean, you know how many... There's people coming out here protesting who think that they're still protesting what happened in 1977. There's people come out here and protest because they heard somebody say something anti-Semitic in 1984. And they've been hating the station ever since. There's people who are coming here for reasons that have nothing to do with anything that happened in the last 6 months.
Let me go back to something you said
and
earlier.
And who are protesting.
Let me understand something that you said earlier about the money is made from the side bands.
No, I said enough money is made from that they could afford to keep the station going with no money coming in at all.
Now, that's my question.
For years to come.
Now, if that is so.
It is so. They did it in L.A.
All right. Why do they bother? Why does the station bother with fundraising?
Because we do make a lot of money. Because guess what? All the people who are organized to boycott WBAI is not enough to totally kill the marathon. We still make a lot of money.
So
we still made a lot of money. You're right. It was the damage was done. Without a doubt. I don't know the numbers, but damage was done. How could it not be? You know, every time you open the phones, you had people, one person with a multi-dialer can jam up 10 phone lines. Without a doubt. I saw it happen here. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you something. Despite that, a lot of money came in.
Why is it then?
Enough money with the sideband money and with the determination to make these changes to keep things going.
Why is it then that a minor thing like announcing what the goal for the...
Because why should we help people who are our enemies?
Right.
Why should we give any information to you to go onto the internet to attack us with?
To say,
why? Why should we do that? I mean, folks are protesting against the station, and then they complain because the station doesn't hand them the shotgun to shoot them with? They're nuts. It ain't going to happen that way. Ain't coming down that way.
You mean if it's announced?
Nobody is going to help you, all right? Take down the station the way it is and the way it's being changed. Nobody. If you can't do it on your own, nobody's going to help you. Here. You're going to have to do it on your own.
So that...
Nobody's going to help you.
So that you're saying that that announcing, as it was last year, the year before...
What I'm saying is this. The fundraising was a success based on the new ideas that are being developed for funding this station. New ideas that I've heard.
Which are separate from selling the satellite.
Right, that are separate from allowing a handful of people to crank call the phone lines and block people from giving money that way. They're going to find new ways to allow people to give money that a handful of people can't block them anymore.
Yeah, no, but why?
No, but, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. They're never going to give in. No New York Daily News creep who works for Zuckerman is going to be allowed to take down the people's radio station. It ain't going to happen. Nobody's going to allow it. They're not going to allow it.
And so
it's not going to happen.
The change.
You're wasting your time.
Then the approach to
you're going to set back the development of the station. Of course, a couple of years probably they did LA, but they'll rebuild it from scratch without you.
Then you're saying that the
like they did in LA.
That you're saying then that the changes in the station, in the approach, are dictated by the Pacifica Foundation.
No, I'm saying that they're... What do you mean? How do I know? I'm not part of the Pacifica Foundation. I'm giving you my personal opinion.
Yeah, I know.
You're looking for information from somebody who doesn't have it. I'm just giving you my opinion. I have no special information except what I hear the scuttlebutt and from standing out here and talking to people when they come in and out.
Yeah.
What they tell me pretty openly.
So...
That's not a big secret.
No, because I
you know, that they're going to change it. They're not going to allow the stations to be dragged down by a clique of people who think it's their personal property and that they somehow represent progressive causes when they're one of 1,000 people who think they represent progressive causes. Who's to say they're right and somebody else is wrong? You have people here who come here and say they represent a progressive cause in Haiti because they represent Aristide. But then I talk to other people who say that Aristide's a dictator.
Yeah, well...
All right, and so why should we have the people around Valerie Van Isler who like Aristide run the station?
Well, Valerie...
You know, why? Why should we give this station over to the pro-Aristide people? Why that group in particular? Why not some other group? Who's to say that the progressive people in Haiti are Aristide because Valerie Van Isler said it was?
Or that the Palestinians are the good guys in the Middle East?
Well, I think we still say that. We said that here before, and we still say it today.
I think it's more today. I really do.
There you go. So, therefore, you're mad at the station because we've gotten more communistic and more left-wing.
No, 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 no.
We're more pro-Palestinian.
You.
I think that's a lot of the problems, too. I think a lot of people, it's just like Utrecht says, a lot of people are very upset that issues are going to be talked about by the actual people involved in the issues and affected by them, and it won't be mediated by self-described, quote-unquote, leftists who make sure that the wrong toes aren't stepped on. I think that's absolutely what's going on here. That's what's been going on here from the beginning.
Well, but I guess it could go.
You know? That's why Clayton Riley always uses the term bamboozled to describe what was going on with the former regime.
Oh, well, don't bring him. He's a rude man.
You know what bamboozled? Do you ever see the movie Bamboozled?
I know what the expression means.
Did you see the movie? It was Spike Lee movie. You got to rent it.
It means white
people pulling the strings behind black people in blackface. That has been now replaced with real people of color actually having real ideas without mediating them through white people to make sure that they're palatable to our liberal constituency here. That's what's going on. I think that's what's really upsetting people.
Well, what I'm upset about, as I said, that it's gotten bland and boring.
But I'm telling you, saying that, and there's no truth at all to that.
Well,
because nothing, what has changed outside, what has been, you said the gay show, and I told you, and I said, but that has, Utrecht had nothing to do with that. It's the same show it's always been.
No, it isn't the same show it's always
but
been.
But what I'm saying is that the same people run it, or whatever changes have happened are within those people that have nothing to do with any of the changes that happened in the administration of the station.
Okay, and Nick, what...
Do you see what I'm saying? That you are, like a lot of people are doing, you're taking your own personal likes and dislikes at the station and projecting them on an alleged crisis that doesn't really exist. These people come here and think that this is all about Utrecht finally finishing the rebellion of 1977. Who will lay their lives on the line that this is what it's about. I saw a guy come in here in a protest and assault me, and smash my face, and attack me with a thing in his hand like a weapon.
What do you mean, like a weapon?
Like a weapon to use as a weapon against me,
what?
Right, in his hand. Why? Because he had, like a religious fanatic, with his eyes glazed over, that somehow he had met a representative of the evil Pacifica, and that it was his God-given calling to smite evil. You know?
Yes.
You think I'm kidding me? You want to see the injuries I got all over my body from it?
No, I was laughing.
Oh, it's insane.
It's biblical language. I,
but that's what it was like.
Yeah.
That's what it was like. And the guy was nuts, all right? Nuts.
Is that why this surveillance equipment...
It was... Guess what? Do you know that they were going to put in the surveillance equipment back in December? And we had a staff meeting, which is, of course, never mentioned, in which the staff asked Utrecht not to do it, and Utrecht agreed and didn't do it.
Yeah.
All right, so there was no security here at all. This guy walked in and assaulted me, and you know what? You know who's liable?
Who?
You know who I could sue for that?
The station.
Right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
All right. One.
Guess what I did? Did I? No, I didn't.
One aside. Where does the Jabal Faye come from?
I think Sierra Leone. I think.
Senegal.
I think so. Senegal.
Yeah, because he's very. I find him extremely difficult to understand. His pronunciation. His accent is so heavy, and his mispronunciations are so frequent.
Yeah, like, you know what? You know the Texas station that everybody says has been turned into Texas country and western music.
Yes.
Used to be 2/3 foreign language programming before they changed it.
It was
like half the 2/3 foreign language programming, and that's what Pacifica changed because it wasn't working anymore.
No, but
I mean, people don't leave that. I mean, I heard some great progressive shows were lost, and I'm sorry for that, and I think we have to battle. I'm not saying that we have to battle and make sure. I mean, there's always a struggle to keep left-wing and progressive programming going. But what I'm saying is don't confuse apples and oranges. the need and the desire to keep the struggle for progressive programming with people's individual bourgeois fascist little agendas. Which they jump onto the bandwagon like it's a big progressive cause, unless you know the people involved and you know what pile of crap it is.
Yeah. Look, you have given me an awful lot of time, for which I am very...
Well, you brought up some good questions. I loved your point of view. We disagreed, but we disagreed in a way that was very, I think, constructive.
We were actually adorable, I think.
Yes. I think it's very constructive because, I mean, you know, you have to understand, like, you know, that there's been a real character assassination attack that was done on me and other people here. That is, I mean, I'm a human being and it makes me angry, and of course that just makes it worse. And you don't really get the idea, you don't get an opportunity to really discuss the ideas and what needs to be discussed for the future of the station. And I really actually look forward to the discussion we had that wasn't full of all kinds of evil recriminations and, you know, F you and you fascist, you traitor, you rat, you this, you that. Instead, we actually had a discussion about it, which needs to be continue. It really does.
Yeah. Well, perhaps we can do it one point because there are things that... I say you say you kind of poo-poo me when I say that the station has become somewhat, well, bland is not really the word so much as boring. And then you say, well, what program? And I managed to mention one, Nick Cilantro. So what? So no, right. Cilantro is a vegetable of her.
And I say that has to do with what you perceive as problems in that program, internal to that program. They have nothing to do with you trees or the management here. Nobody's gone to the producers of that program and told them anything more than they've told every other producer here, that there's only one thing they can't talk about and what the gag rule is really about, all right? The true gag rule. You cannot use the air to organize violent protests against the management of the station.
What happened to the Pacifica News is going, as far as I'm concerned, becoming less informative. But also, but that's the national though. But also,
but I think that's going to change. I think that's going to change. I mean, there you know, there's going to be more resources put into it, and I think that more is going to be done. I mean, you can't.
It appears that resources have been removed because...
Right, and they've gone... You know, you're really going to get me in trouble. You're going to want me to explain where the resources went, why they don't get any resources, and where the resources all go.
No.
You don't want to know,
believe me,
because you like the program where they go, believe me.
That truly is not what I was going to ask.
Okay, I'm sorry. But that's the answer I have to the question about why PNN has been suffering all these problems, because they've been losing resources, and it's a battle over resources in the whole network, but that's another story.
Is that true? I actually was going to comment, because the PNN is national, and I was going to comment on the local news from 6:30 to 7, which has also become less news and more essays.
Listen to the morning show. Santiago and myself do a great job. I'm going to be on myself this morning starting at 7, and we're going to have a lot of fun, and we're going to really be informative. That is where to look for the future of this radio station, is in the morning slot.